Josiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Josiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 16, 2013. Saints, the world is in great turmoil, and most just do not realize... Saints, the world is in great turmoil. Most just do not realize it, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number, of course, is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. And for those of you that are listening on radio, if you have a question for anything, if you do not get on the Internet, if you need to ask a question about anything, you're free to call me. That isn't just for prayer requests. It's for any kind of a question that you might have. Anyway, but you folks that are on the Internet or might be listening to radio on the Internet, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, our mailing address, and all of this is at our blog, which you can find at prophecyhour.com. At prophecyhour.com, you can find links to the Wichita Homeless Mission and to the woman's shelter. Go over and look for that link on the right-hand side of the page, or to go to wichitahomeless.com, and you can find it. But at prophecyhour.com, if you go over to the right-hand side of the page, it says pages. That's all the various pages for prophecyhour.com. And one of those pages is a blog for the Wichita Mission Church. And for Mercy, that's what we call the women's shelter. We call it Mercy. So go over there and have a look around, and I better hurry up so I can get on with our program. So now here's a prayer. After the prayer, we'll bring on our guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father God, I just pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. I ask that you would give our guests words in which to give to people so they might understand the truth, and give everyone ears in which to hear the truth tonight. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight I have back on with me, if you're a regular listener, you will know him very well. He is the founder of the Prophecy Club. His name is Stan Johnson. So instead of telling you a tall tale about who he is, I want to ask my longtime friend just to come on and tell us about himself and the Prophecy Club. Welcome, Stan. Are you there with me?
I am.
Well, it's good to happen. It seems like I was talking to you earlier today. I thought I got rid of you for the week.
Yes, it seems like you were. It seems like we talk all the time.
Yeah, amen. Well, what we're referring to is Stan allows me, mind you, to come on his program and help present the news, and he puts it into the perspective of Bible prophecy. How can they find that, Stan? Tell them about that new media center you have over there.
That would be at prophecyclub.com. Just remember, prophecy has a C in it, okay? Prophecyclub.com. As a matter of fact, we're in the process. You'll be the first ones to know this, but we have long needed to update our website, and we've hired a place to update our website. We've also done some major uplifts in our audio section where you can listen to the podcast. And soon to come, hopefully in a couple of months, where you'll be able to go back and watch online any of our, like, I don't know, I think it's like 280 DVDs, is a lot of them, over 250 DVDs you'll be able to watch online at the click of a mouse if you want to.
Oh, that's another project you were telling me about. So my curiosity, are all those DVDs Stan Johnson?
Oh, no. We've had about 150 guest speakers over the last 20 years. I think I've made 28 of the DVDs. So
28?
Yeah, 28.
Okay, folks. So you know which ones to avoid, right? Okay.
That's right.
Okay, I'm just in a good mood tonight, Stan. I guess that's probably from the topic that you're going to do. But how long have you been doing the Prophecy Club anyway, for people that haven't heard you before?
Started in June. As a matter of fact, right about here in about another 2 weeks is going to be our 20-year anniversary. Started in June of 1993. And I was only going to just do this little part-time thing. I considered it kind of like teaching class. Sunday school at church. I never intended to get into the ministry. I never intended to be a pastor. I was never going to do any of this. And all of a sudden, I found myself in a mess of worms that I thought, oh, no, how'd I get here? So, anyway, thank you, Lord, for letting me serve.
Yeah, amen. I got to throw something in on that comment. The reason I was laughing so hard, folks, is because when you're called of God and he tells you to do something, he generally doesn't let you in on everything that's going on. It's just like I thought I was going to be helping the people just for a little while. We start our 14th year in June. Back to you, Stan.
Wow. Okay, well, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Well, that I want to talk about this. I have in front of me this thing that you sent me. I guess you call it a PowerPoint, and it says rapture debate. What's this rapture debate all about?
Okay, well, here's what happened. I got an email, and it said that someone was asking someone to debate them on the rapture, and they wanted to take the pre-trib position and looking for someone to take the post-trib position. And I thought, well, I would be delighted. Now, I would be delighted because I think God has shown me a lot of really neat things. And when God has shown you something, it bubbles in your heart and you want to share it. And that was my first thought. And then I got to thinking, oh, no, man, because I don't want to go in and tear this guy up and really make him look bad. Because, you know, I used to be a public speaking instructor. I used to teach two speaking once contests, thinking on your feet, thinking under pressure. That's what I did for a living for like 13 years. And I'm not trying to go in to win a debate. I'm not trying to go in and hurt someone or destroy a ministry. Matter of fact, if that was my attitude, God wouldn't let me do it, okay? Because he needs all the watchmen, all the servants, all the soldiers he can possibly get in his army. So he would not be pleased with that. But my heart is to go in and give them another perspective, so that when they do find themselves in the middle of a world of hurt, they will not burn their Bibles. They will not throw away Jesus, throw away their pastor, beat their pastor, burn their churches. Some of the things that we're going to see in this nation. And that's, you know, the more I study prophecy, the more, man, I mean, there's some really bad things coming, especially to this nation, but to the world too, but it'll be hardest here. Anyway.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question for the people. So I know that you believe in post-trib rapture now, but have you always believed in post or post-trib rapture?
And let me also complete one more thing. The point is to go to this rapture debate and see that no one denies Jesus. The only way I will walk out and have done my job is if I prepared everyone there to be willing to go to death rather than to deny Jesus. Now, as a matter of fact, when Prophecy Club started in 1993, I was just like everybody else. I mean, when I started getting interested in prophecy, what do? You go to the Christian bookstore, you purchase books, and this was about 84, somewhere in there, when I started getting interested in Bible prophecy. And I went and I bought me The Late Great Planet Earth by
Hal Lindsey.
Oh, there you go, Hal Lindsey. And, of course, the only thing that they put forward was a pre-trib rapture. And since I was a newbie at prophecy at the time, you know, you went along with it. I mean, who's to question the great Hal Lindsey, you know? And then comes Jack Van Impe on the air. I mean, who's to question the guy that has a nationwide TV program on Bible prophecy? I mean, you know, he's got to be right. You know, here he is with very big ministries on TV. He's got to be right, you know, and everybody was pre-trib. Then I asked if I could teach a class at a church on Bible prophecy, And that's where some people started coming to me and saying, you know, there are some other points of view. Nah, couldn't be. You know, Hal Lindsey, you know, Jack Van Impe, this is what these. Well, then one day, Gene Bacon, prophet that was working with us in some of the meetings, came to me and said, I'm holding another meeting over here in town on such and such time, place, and I'm going to talk to him about the rapture. And I really think you need to come and listen to it. Now, I think I kind of heard in his voice that you need to get straightened out, boy. But at the same time, I also need to make certain that my belief was right, and I was starting to question it, okay? So I went over there. This was mid-1999. And my goodness, he didn't take but just two or three scriptures from me because I'm a truth seeker. I want the truth wherever I find it. I want the truth no matter how bad it hurts. I want the truth. And I'll say this, that unless you have that attitude, then you are probably going to swallow down a lie. You're probably going to be deceived. It is a whole lot easier to be deceived than to learn the truth. And I sat there and listened to this guy, and I thought, oh, my goodness. Oh, my. And he only had like, 10 or 12 scriptures on it. Now, I've found like 357 scriptures now. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I have to do a third DVD on it. So,
kind of like an addict.
That's right. Well, when I get into something, I dig into it really deep, and I make certain that I understand it, and I make certain so that if somebody comes up and wants to challenge me on it, I got the answer. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to be prepared to give an answer. So I try to prepare myself to give an answer. Now, that doesn't mean I always do, but I mean I right. certainly do my best to prepare it. Well, anyway, then it developed into Truth About the Rapture DVD that was made along in 2001, somewhere in there, 2002, I'm just guessing. And then I kept researching it, came up with more information, so I made more Truth About the Rapture. And I don't know what this next DVD is going to be about. Probably the rapture debate is just
right.
off the top of my head. But, man, I have found so much more information. Matter of fact, I think I found the verse. And this is
okay.
what I started praying. Lord, show me the verse that absolutely, positively kills pre-trib, mid-trib, and pre-wrath.
Okay, and before you give that. I want to say what.
Well, I'm going to get that on the air.
I'm going to let you get it on the air.
You have to get the DVD to get that one. That's my goal.
Oh, you're not going to do that. Well, maybe you're not going to pre-warn this guy that, you know, might be listening and say, hey, I know what he's going to pull on you. But
well,
let's back up a minute.
Because there it is, Bob. It kills it. It just lays
yeah,
it flat.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I want to throw one thing in to Stan Johnson, folks. I met him way back right about the time the Prophecy Club first happened, and it didn't take too long to figure out that Stan was pre-trib rapture. And so a couple of times I started to say something to him, and Stan was kind of like, you know. And so us and a lot of people, maybe you just didn't know it, but there was a lot of us people that were praying for you that the Lord Yeshua would show you the truth.
So that's
because
what happened.
Yeah, we were really praying for you, Stan. We couldn't figure out actually how you had so many wonderful guests and you were so pre-trib rapture. But we loved you and we prayed for you a lot. So back to you. Go ahead. The rapture debate. So what do you go back to that?
Okay, well, here's what has happened. This fellow by the name of Daryl Dumas of Touching Hands Ministries out of Mississippi. I'll have to get you the address here. I'll pull it up in a second. Anyway, I sent him an email a couple emails later. I was invited to speak. I'm going to be speaking there Saturday, June 22nd, and that is at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And I think I've got the address. Yes, here's the address at 5882 U.S. 11 in Enterprise, Mississippi. Say it again, Touching Hands Ministries, 5882 U.S. 11, Enterprise, Mississippi, Saturday, June 22nd, 3 p.m. Now, Daryl's going to take the pre-trib position trying to convince us that Jesus is going to suck us in the ear and protect us from all trouble. Whereas I'm going to take the post-trib position, and like Matthew 13:30 says, gather you first the tares, the sinners, bind them into bundles and cast them into the fire. And each opponent will have three 20-minute segments with 5 to 6 minutes for opponent rebuttal. and a 15-minute summary at the end with questions from the audience following. And I think it's going to be like I have to hold myself down. I feel like I need to put a seatbelt on myself sitting in my chair in front of my computer. I'm so excited about this, I can barely sleep at night. Again, not that I want to hurt or embarrass. I want to keep these people from denying Christ. And if there's a high probability, if they don't understand this, they will deny Christ.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, you said you're talking about how many scriptures that you found that were post-trib or just basically tell the truth. I've never counted the scriptures, but it always seemed to me when I read the Word, you know, without guidance from anybody but the Holy Spirit, that it just seemed like the whole book came to that conclusion. To me, it's a real push to push pre-trib rapture in it.
Well, how do I say? There's an old saying that says, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And I have seen it where you can show people dead on, there it is, you're wrong. But if they don't want to believe it, you're not going to change their mind. And I know that I'm going to be probably walking in a group of people that are probably having that attitude. But my objective is to keep them from denying Christ. If they walk out and they still believe there's a pre-trib, as long as they'll agree with me that there is ample evidence for them to possibly be wrong to the point to where they better have their heart right and prepared to go through trouble rather than to lose their salvation. Because the Bible says that there's going to be a great falling away and there's going to be a strong delusion such that if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect. And the Bible says that God is going to send them a strong delusion so that all that had believed the lie, or all that had not come to the knowledge of truth, would believe the lie and be damned. And so that lie is not directed at the Buddhists. They're already lost. That's not directed at the fallen away Christian. That's directed at the elite, at the elect, at the very closest of Christians. And if we aren't really close, and if we aren't really wanting the truth, then we will believe the lie, and we will be damned. Oh, and don't think that you can't lose your salvation. I talked about that on the radio today. Look, you know, you can be a good Christian, going to church, reading your Bible, praying, giving everything the Bible. You can follow the Bible, but then at the end, 5 minutes before you die, you can take that mark of the beast, and you will lose your salvation. So those people try to tell you, once saved, always saved, doesn't happen, Jack. That's not the way it works. That's not in my Bible. Doesn't happen.
Well, let me ask you this. Beyond taking the mark of the beast, is it once saved, always saved? I mean, is there another way to lose your salvation besides taking the mark of the beast?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. You can walk away from Christ. You can walk away anytime. See, the difference is when you are serving Satan, he does not let you walk away. At least he tells you he's not going to let you walk away. I mean, you've heard sayings like once CIA, always CIA, or once Satanist, always Satanist. Well, of course, that's a lie, too. Jesus can save anybody. Okay, but once you have Christ, there's a scripture that says that once you have Christ, once you've tasted of the true truth of it, and if you walk away, there remains no more sacrifice for you. Now, I want to believe that Jesus is going to forgive anybody that asks him, but I'm not going to take a chance. I don't want to walk the chalk line. I want to be way over here walking close to Jesus. But should we talk about rapture here a little bit?
Well, absolutely. I just thought you just wanted to talk about anything, but we will talk about the rapture.
Let me go through it here. I know that we're getting cranked for the end of let me go till we get a break, and then we'll go from there. Now, as I said, I've got 3 20-minute segments, and this is one of the 20-minute segments. I'm not going to tell you which one because I don't want to give away the ship. In case, this winds up reaching the ears of one Daryl Dumas. let me just say this. If we were alive, if we could somehow be transported through time, an angel came and got us and set us out upon the surface of the earth the day that Christ is returning, what would it be like? Well, first of all, let me do a little setup. Before we get there, let me bring you up to date briefly how we came there. sometime in the 2020s ballpark, 2010s, 2020, somewhere in there, oil was discovered in Israel and built Israel's military. The U.S. forced Israel to give the Palestinians a state. Consequently, God split the U.S. because the U.S. split Israel. And the Gulf, America's split from the Great Lakes down to Mexico. A great catastrophe, a great earthquake hits us. Then when we're weak, then an internal revolution starts, and then Russia attacks in a surprise nuclear attack. Israel will emerge World War III victorious. America will be defeated in the early days of it. Israel will get back all of the land from the Nile to the Euphrates. Millions of believers will move to Israel because it's going to be the last bastion of safety for those people that believe. Then America, defeated and taken over, turns against Christians. America becomes a worldwide martyr machine. I'm talking about a Christian killing machine the likes of the world has never seen. Worse than the Nazis killed the Jews, worse than the Catholics in the past killed the Christians. This is going to be a worldwide martyr machine, and it's going to try to remove all Christians from the earth, but it'll do it especially here in America. And I'll give you the verse. By the way, every one of these phrases, I got verses for. At least one verse. Normally, I got anywhere from 3 to 6 verses for. And when I do the talk here, I'm flipping through, I'm showing you pictures, I'm showing the verses, but I'm moving quickly right now. Then the sea. Let's talk about the sea. The fish and the fowls will shake. The sea will be as a blood man. Everything in the sea will die. Eventually, there will be no more sea. And the sea itself kills roughly a third of mankind. Then let's talk about the land. Our earth has been mostly destroyed. Meteors destroyed massive sections of the earth. Most grass and trees are all burned. Then the earth reels to and fro like a drunkard, and it turns upside down, killing many people in the turn. Earth then leaves orbit like a deer being chased through the woods. I mean, literally, the earth leaves its orbit. The earth's surface moves like you're walking on water. Every mountain falls flat. No mountains are found. Every valley fills in. The earth becomes a round, smooth ball. All islands are gone. The sea is gone. The days are shortened. There's not 24 hours in a day anymore. All seed is rotten in the field. All the beasts of the field are groaning because they don't have food nor water. No wind blows on the earth any place. Now the earth moves and shakes constantly. The sun goes, first of all, it gets 7 times hotter, Isaiah 30, verse 26 says. Then many people go blind from the earth, or the sun being 7 times hotter. People's faces turn black. Everyone on earth has a black face. Sun, moon, stars all go out. The sky is all dark, gloomy all the time. Darkness covers the earth. There's no sun. There's thick, gloomy clouds covering the earth. No light is reaching the earth from the heavens at all. All darkness and no light at any time is present. World government was formed about 7 years ago by this time. Everyone had to have the same God, no exceptions. Everyone is required to worship the Antichrist by worshiping a little statue of the Antichrist. All refusing to worship and receive his mark are beheaded. Everyone has to take the mark or die or starve. Advanced space weapons turn a Garden of Eden to Gomorrah. Terrible, big, powerful locusts.
Dan, we're going to have to break in. The break.
Okay.
It's time for 3 minutes. We'll be right back, folks.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Come Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, folks, the homeless are poor, but we're also talking about the poor people that have been able to keep a roof over their head, but they don't have enough money for maybe food, clothing, and so many other things. First aid. They come to us for Bibles. They come to us for the gospel. There's so many things that people come from us all over the city and even sometimes from out of town. But right now, it's summertime. Many of you are out there going on vacation, planning family things, going fishing, doing picnics, doing all kinds of outdoor activities, really getting rid of that winter cabin fever. Well, I like that time of year, too, but while it's a joyful time for many of you, with many ministries, it also means that we're now in what we call the summer slump in donations. Well, I'm not sure as to why it really is, but I know as soon as school gets out, our donations just drop to a crawl, even if that. Late August, when school returns and summer is over, seems like that's when the donations return. But we have to stay open. we really we have to stay open. The people still need us just as bad or worse in the summertime, so we really need your help. I need you folks that love this ministry to really pray about a donation when you hear this. Now, I'm not just joking. You see that we're only funded by those of you that read about us on the Internet or listen to radio, whether it's on satellite or on the Internet, or get our newsletter. We're not an agency with government funding. We don't have a huge church with a rich congregation to support the needs. Messiah's Branch, yes, is indeed a church, but our congregation is the poorest of the poor. I had a, this week earlier, I had a $500 donation come to the Mission Church on Tuesday, and, well, that saved the day. But right now, we're just about at zero. Any amount of donation will help. Also, please keep your prayers for us coming because we need them badly. I feel the devil is really working hard against us to stop the women's shelter from getting open. I do believe that's a big part of it. We do have someone in Wichita right now, however, trying to raise funds for us. And please lift this woman up in prayer that she goes to the right places and that the Father gives her the right words. If you're interested in, helping, I can send you by email a Word file with the complete business plan for the woman's shelter we call Mercy. Anyway, yesterday I interviewed a Christian movie producer for Mission Watch. That'll be on, out this week, Sunday, at 8 p.m. Central. And she thought it'd be really easy to raise the money for a woman's shelter. Well, I pray that ends up being right. Well, we need your ongoing support for the Wichita Mission Church. Through the Mission Church, so many count on us for food, clothing, Bibles, prayers, healings. Well, that list goes on and on and on, and I have a guest I need to get back to. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. Treated as family, that's probably the second. And beyond that, we have no set guidelines. We don't have programs. People just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. And then if we don't have the way to fill their need, we pray it in. This is why the agencies tell all their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions in their budgets send people to a place that has no budget. We're the very last hope for so many, so please pray for us and pray about a donation. The Father does notice every donation, no matter what size, when it comes from the heart. You can donate online by mailing a check or money order, or you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, or if you're listening on radio, you don't do the Internet, like I know a lot of you don't, then you can call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682, and now we're back with my friend Stan Johnson talking about the rapture. You there with me, Stan, or did you leave?
I'm here.
All right.
Off with a stick, man. But, however, I'd like to say something to your listeners for just a moment.
Okay.
In my life, there was a time, and I'm just being frank, I'm just being honest with you, okay? There was a time in my life, thankfully, I can say it was a long time ago, but there was a time that I didn't really trust God with finances. I'm just being honest. I didn't. I thought that I would give my 10% because he's told me to, but I didn't believe that it would ever come back, at least not in this life. I thought I'd never see it. But I have discovered through the years that you cannot outgive God. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, look at, I got to take the family on some kind of a vacation. We got to, you know, break the monotony. We got to get out or something. And the only way we're going to, since we're already giving almost all of it away anyway, if we're going to have a vacation, we got to take some of this that we're giving away to have just for a brief period of time so we can have a vacation. Okay, let me challenge you. You need to learn to trust God, okay? Let me challenge you to do something. Let me try something. Okay, give a large donation. Now, see, if you give a $20 donation, you don't see it come back. But, I mean, you give a large one. Let's say, for example, would you notice if somebody gave you $1,000? Probably. Would you notice if somebody just gave you $20 or $30 or $50? Probably not, okay? So I'm going to suggest that you give away a large enough donation, and, of course, I think Dan is the place to give it to because those homeless people, when you give someone that cannot pay it back, God is obligated, and he does pay it back. I can tell you, he does. I tell you what, God is faithful. Give away a large donation, and I'm going to suggest you give it to Dan, and pray. Pray this. Say, Lord, I believe that your kingdom is putting others in front of myself. And I am doing something that in the natural is crazy. I'm giving away this large donation, and it may be like half, maybe even all of what you were going to spend on your vacation. And it may be to the point to where, I mean, it's better if you can get your husband and your wife's approval. But nevertheless, especially you guys, you know, you're ultimately responsible, okay? And just say, I'm giving this away, and I'm believing you to return it so that we still will have a vacation. And if you've already got the date set, we still will have the vacation by the date that we have set, and give it away. In other words, you put those homeless people first. You put God first, and you will see a miracle. You don't have to trust Stan. I'm not the one that delivers it back to you. The Father will. He hears everything. You can't sneeze without Him knowing it. You can't. You can't blink your eyes except for the Father knows it. You give away a large donation to see, and here's the trick, okay? You put others in front of you, that includes your giving, and you say, look, I'm going to see that Pastor Dan and those homeless people are taken care of first, before me, before my bills, before my vacation. I'm going to see he's taken care of. You give away a painful donation. I mean, one, you'll see it come back, and you'll sure see it leave. Kind of like a thorn in your finger, you know. You saw it come in, or you felt it come in, and you sure feel it go out, okay? And that's the way this donation needs to be. I mean, a painful donation. One where if it doesn't come in, you will be able to say, Lord, look, you know, I trusted you. You're really in hurting, okay? You will see it come back. I mean, you're watching every day for it to come back. And I don't care if I was a salesman. People ran from me. I mean, they tried not to give money to me. But one day, God turned that all around. And he started causing people to give into the ministry in me, not me. And you have a ministry. You give away a large donation to those homeless people, those people sleeping under a bridge, and you say, look, Lord, I am taking care of those people sleeping under a bridge before I'm taking care of my bills and before I'm sending my family on a vacation, and you will, I promise you, you will see it come back. Now, here's what you do. You don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. You just give it away. I'll give you one example. I wrote one Monday morning. I wrote a check to an organization. Well, I guess I'll go ahead and tell you it was to Pastor Dan's organization. And when I wrote that check, the money was not in the bank. Now, I'm not suggesting you go write hot checks. It's got to be the level of faith that you're on, okay? But all of a sudden, Dan starts getting all these hot checks. But anyway, I said, look, Lord, you know, I figured it'd take 2 or 3 days for that check to get in. And you know I don't have the money for it, but I'm putting those homeless people in front of myself. I wrote the check. I sealed it up, put the envelope in the mailbox myself. Didn't send the secretary out with it. I walked out the mailbox. I dropped that in. Less than 2 hours later, someone dropped by the office and handed me cash for the exact amount of that check that the post office had not even picked up out of the mailbox yet. God is faithful, and if you don't know he's faithful, then it is time for you to find out. You put those homeless people in front of your vacation, and you will see God. You will see his hand. You will. I tell you, you will. Okay, let's jump back to the day of the Lord. Is that okay?
That's plenty okay.
Okay. Now, by the way, that's some free advice. And I hope you can discover that I was telling you the truth. Okay, anyway, day of the Lord. Okay, here's what it's going to be like. By the time you're standing out on the surface of the earth, over 90% of the people have already died. At this point, there's been people that have wanted to die. They couldn't die. Few men left, the Bible says. Most Christians have already been martyred. There is no wine, music, song. All joy is gone. Even great men weep. All hope is lost. All nations are gathered around Jerusalem to destroy it. Every army in the world under the leadership of the Antichrist. It's a time of trouble that Daniel and Matthew 24 both says has never been so much trouble in the world to this date. The approximate date for it, my guess, and I'm not setting a date, I'm saying an approximate date, is someplace in the 2040 to 2050 area. Then, all of these armies coming down to attack Jerusalem. As you look up into the sky, the sun is out, the moon is out, the stars, I mean, you see nothing but dark clouds. It's cold on the earth. The sun has gone out. Everybody's moved underground. No one can live on the face of the earth anymore. Then, up in the sky, you see a bright, looks like a star, heading this way. It's getting brighter and closer, brighter and closer. It keeps getting brighter until it's even brighter than what the sun used to be. And it's Jesus, Yahshua, the Christ, Messiah, returning in power and great glory. He touches down on the Mount of Olives. They break in two. Then he roars out of Jerusalem, blowing his glory down, destroying his enemy. When he blows his glory down, it's like lightning come out of his mouth, out of his nose, down like his arm, and he just and destroys entire nations at once. And then it comes to pass. Two are grinding at the mill. One is taken. One is left. Two are in the field. One is taken. One is left. Two are in bed. One is taken. One is left. And then as that glory comes by two people, let's say one is saved and one is not. As it hits the saint, as it hits the Christian, all of a sudden it is fulfilled in them that out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. And all of a sudden, whoom, they get a glorified body. They glow all over like Johnny Flame. They glow every place. But then as that glory hits the center, they fall to the ground in a pile of ashes and bones. Malachi 4:3 says there'll be ashes under the soles of her feet. Obadiah 1:19 says that they will be as though they had not been. Zechariah 14:12 says that their eyes consume out of the sockets. The tongue consumes out of the mouth. The flesh consumes off of the bone before the people can even hit the ground. They're gone. It's just a pile of ashes and bones. As that glory hits the earth, it covers the earth like waters cover the sea. It goes all the way to the center of the earth. It sets the foundation of the mountains on fire. The earth is shaking. Again, every mountain falls. Every valley raises. There's no more sea. The whole earth is shaking at his glory. The whole earth begins to glow like a ball. There's no, because in him there is light and there is no darkness. And that glory sets the mountains on fire. Psalms 97:3 says the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. It says that the hills melt like water running down a steep place. And every sinner is all burned up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. That's when we get our glorified bodies. And all of a sudden we boom, and from the minute that glory touches us, from that millisecond, that blink of an eye, we will never sin again. We will never hurt again. We will never cry or thirst or hunger. We will never die ever, 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 ever again. And that is the instant, the millisecond that we get our rewards. He says his rewards are with him. That fire goes down to the lowest hell, to the center of the earth. It devours all of the people that are sinners like thorns in one day. The sword devours all of these evil people up. The tares are all bundled. And in a moment, he's cleansed all of the earth. Then the Bible says in the evening tide they are, but in the morning he is not. He sends his angels out from one end of heaven to the other, the four ends, four corners of heaven, to gather his elect, the wheat, into the barn. The barn is the new Jerusalem that cometh down out of heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I would go to prepare a place for you so that where I am there ye may be also. It's a glorious day. There cannot be a pre-trib, a mid-trib, a pre-trib, or a pre-wrath rapture. There cannot be. Jesus is returning in all power and glory. All power and glory means he's brighter than the sun. The sun goes out and it never relights, brothers and sisters. The sun goes out and it will never light on us again, the Bible says. Never, ever, ever. In 1,000 generations, it'll never light on us again, because the sun goes out, because Jesus literally is the light of the world. The New Jerusalem sets down just south of Jerusalem. It's about 1,400 miles square. Golden streets, pearly gates, beautiful beyond our wildest dreams. And the Bible says that the mind of man has not conceived of what God has laid up for those that love him. And it's happening in your lifetime. Chances are, the folks listening right now, this is going to happen in your lifetime. You will have, if you live in America, and if you live to see Jesus return, you will have the opportunity to deny Christ. Almost a high probability. That is, unless the angel comes to you and says, okay, go over here because you're one that's been chosen to be supernaturally protected so that you will not have to deny Christ. But just like the angel told Dimitri, that if they haven't stopped sinning in advance, if they haven't built that prayer closet, if they don't worship him in tears now, they will deny Christ. I'm going to say most Americans right now will deny Christ. Way over 50%. I'll say 70-80% of the people living right now in America will deny Christ. They'll take that mark because their roots aren't deep enough in the rock. So when the winds blow, when the rains come, great will be the fall of their house. Dan?
You know, I get almost hypnotized when I say, folks, sometimes I almost get, not hypnotized, that isn't the word, I get so deep into listening to what he says that sometimes he has to go, Dan, 3 times on radio for me to wake up. Well, I was just listening to you, Stan.
Okay,
wow.
Come from a direction.
That's amazing. I do want to give this one scripture, and then I'll let you talk some more. Hebrews 10:26-27 says, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which would devour the adversaries. At church, every Sabbath service, this is one of the two questions that I give to the congregation, and my youngest son answers this, my 12-year-old, and I say, what's it mean, Elijah? And he says, well, that's easy. He says, it means if you know what you're doing wrong and you keep on doing it over and over again, you're not going to heaven. You're going to lake of fire.
There you go.
You know, if a child can understand that, why can't the people stand?
Well, again, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And it doesn't make any difference. Like, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up. And that's the, especially with the pre-tribbers, especially the people that hold the error. I'd like to talk to the folks so that they, if they know how to grow wheat, and of course you live in Kansas, I used to. If you know how to grow wheat, then you know whether you got a pre-trib, mid-trib, or pre-wrath rapture. Can I explain?
Go right ahead.
Okay. So when a wheat farmer is going to start preparing to plant his wheat, the first thing he does is go and prepare the ground. Just like John the Baptist says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And that's what the farmer does is he gets and makes these rows in the soil, and he softens up the ground to prepare for the seed to be to arrive. And, of course, Jesus was the one that brought the good seed, the seed of the Father, the seed of the kingdom. And then after he sowed the seed, then the parable found in Matthew 13, verse 25, said that, didn't you sow good seed into your field? He said, yeah. He said, well, now how come tares are coming up? And he says, an enemy has done this. Well, do you want us to pull up the weeds along with the wheat along with the tares? And he said, no, because if you try to pull up the tares now, you'll pull up the wheat too. He said, let them both grow until the harvest. Now, why didn't he say, let them grow to one of the harvests? Why didn't he say, let them grow to the pre-trib harvest? Why didn't he say, let them grow to the mid-trib or the pre-wrath harvest? He didn't say that. Because if you know anything about growing wheat, what you have to do is wait until the harvest. When the harvest is ripe, that's the only time you can spot and remove the tares. Because up till then, just like the Bible says, if you try to move them before the harvest, then you pull up the wheat with them. Whereas, at harvest, you can look out into that field and it's all a golden brown because the wheat has fruit and it is bent over and the wheat actually nods as in saying yes, going up and down, as in yes, Jesus come to my heart, whereas the tares remain straight up because they don't have any fruit. So as you look into the harvest field at the day of harvest, at that point it's easy to spot the tares and pull them out. That's the reason Matthew 13:30 says, go in and gather first the tares, and then bind them into bundles, cast them into the fire. So the farmer goes into the wheat field and he pulls up all of the tares carefully, making certain that not one of those little seeds of the tares, which are much smaller than the wheat, there's no fruit on them, just a little seed, not one of those little seeds gets into the wheat. The reason is because a tare seed is extremely bitter. You get one tare seed in with all of your wheat, and it's ruined the wheat. I mean, it's terrible, okay? So he makes certain he gets all of the tares, he binds them into bundles, then he casts them into the fire. He makes certain all of the tares are removed. Then they go in and gather the wheat. When they gather the wheat, they put it into a big pile. And this is representing separating the sheep from the goat, representing gathering the fish and keeping the good ones and throwing the bad ones away. There's two different parables there. See, the rapture is all through the parables, okay? So then he piles them into a big pile, and they take a thing called a flail, which is kind of like taking two mop handles and breaking it in half and tying them together with a chain or a rope or a piece of leather. And then you take these two sticks and you beat this big stack of wheat. Because on wheat, there's four things. There's the stalk, the leaves, and then the chaff. The chaff surrounds the wheat and it's light as a fly wing. Very, very light. But you have to separate all that. So you beat this, just beat it to a pulp. And then a man stands there, and if the wind is blowing, wonderful. If it's not, then you got to have someone standing there with a fan, because he takes a big pan, and he throws the wheat up into the air, and the wood, hay, and the stubble, or the stalks, the leaves, and the chaff, then are all blown away, because the wheat is heavy, and it falls right back down to the ground. And so they throw it up, they throw it up, they throw it up, and eventually that separates all of the wood, hay, and stubble, and then they have a nice big pile of wheat. Then they gather the wheat into the barn. Means that it's a perfect picture that first Jesus will come in and burn up all of the tares, all of the sinners. Here's the thing. When they're growing, you can't tell a tare from wheat. They look just like wheat. I'm saying right now the tares are in the church pews. The tares are in the choirs. The tares might even be in the pulpits, because it's not till the harvest, when they have been through the tribulation, when they've been through the difficulty, then we'll find out who the fair weather Christians are. Then we find out who the people are that couldn't take it. They could endure for a little while, but then by and by, when persecution or difficulty arises, the scripture says, then they lose their salvation. Okay. So,
amen. Well, we're going to have to cut it off there, Stan.
Okay.
If they want to listen to you, they're going to have to go to theprophecyclub.com and look at your media center and listen to some awful fine things or get some DVDs. What's the website there again, real quick?
Prophecyclub.com, 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 but there is no C in prophecy. Prophecyclub.com. Excuse me. What am I saying? There is no S. Gee whiz. There's an S in prophecy. I just got it backwards.
Overworked and underpaid. Got you again. All right.
Help me out of that one.
Thank you
for having me on.
All right. I'll catch up with you next week. Thanks a lot. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Folks, make sure you tune in to the Prophecy Club. It's a good program. And tune in to I Present the News over there, so check it out. Always be a blessing to others, no matter what. If you got the Holy Spirit in you, how can you not be a blessing to others? Well, tune into Mention Watch. There'll be a new program on. There's a woman a producer that is making a new movie about the Joseph and his coat of many colors, and she's already produced one movie that'll be out later this year with some major stars in it. But I interviewed her. I will have that program. Will be on Sunday night at 8 p.m. for Mission Watch. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you. And his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can until the first day of the week. This is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.